Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to everybody. And as Will pointed out this morning, Will said, it's Father's Day, but it's also the Father's Day, right? And we'd like to share a few things. And my brother's back there making faces at me because I made a poor joke. Thanks, Jason. That's right. I'll call you out. But today I'd like to talk about, you know, just being a dad. And some of the things that being a dad has taught me, you know, and it's not an easy job to be a dad, although Alyssa might disagree. She might think that's a little easier than being a mom, and I think that she's right. But there are a few things that we're going about, going to be talking about today, where being a dad has taught me several different things about life, and I've narrowed it down to five things I'd like to share with you. I'd like to talk to you about. Number one, and it's not advancing, so do we have it? Is it turned on? How do I turn it on? Oh, it says on off right there. All right, now it's on. So, one, it's not all about me. You know, anytime that we go anywhere, you know, anytime that we do anything, we have to make sure that that David has, you know, his EpiPens with him. We've got to make sure if it's going to be a duration of time, we're going to try and make sure that there's, you know, maybe a snack or something to for the kids to do. If we're going to be in the car ride for any number of times, it's going to be making sure that everybody's got what they need before we even leave. And you realize that as a father, it's never all about you. It's always about everything else, and that is kind of foreign to somebody. You know, I've only been a father for 8 years, and it's something that I'm continually learning, that it's not all about me. And what I want is not necessarily what's going to happen or what needs to happen, simply because my family has needs that I have to provide for. My family has needs that I have to think about. And sometimes I do forget that. Sometimes I forget it's not all about me. You know, and sometimes I forget that I need to put my family, you know, first over the needs of myself. but it's something that you're continually taught as a father and as a dad. You know, yesterday I went to the Blues rally below the arch. You know, at the end of the parade, the Blues won the Stanley Cup. At the end of the parade, they come below the arch and they present the cup and everything. And the entire time I was thinking to myself, man, if I would have brought the boys, we would have had to do this, we would have had to do that. Like, it would have been a whole process. And you're constantly thinking like that. You're constantly thinking about how you are to be thinking of others while you're a father. And so you realize that, number one, it's not all about you anymore. And not only that, but your decisions affect more than just you. Your decisions will affect your children as well. Your decisions will affect your family as a whole. You know, if I wanted to go do something and I just went out and did it, that would ultimately affect my family somehow. Like I said yesterday, me going to St. Louis to go to that rally affected my family because Alyssa was there with the boys by herself. Me coaching soccer is a big task, you know, in my house, because not only does that decision for me to do that, the high school level, require me to be outside of the house for a long period of time, but it also impacts my family because there are some nights or there are some weeks where I don't get to see them until about 9 o'clock at night. And so the decisions that I make, you realize very quickly and time again that it's not just about you and it doesn't just affect you. Your decisions affect more than just you. We see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 that you are the salt of the earth. When considering that just a little bit of salt will change the flavor of something. We see that influence of that salt, that mineral, into the meal is going to change the flavor of the meal. And just like, you know, a father making decisions and a father going about doing the daily things, it's going to influence and it's going to have a big impact on the family. Every decision that a father does has a big impact about the family, and the quicker that a father realizes that it's not about him, the easier it's going to be on that father. We also see in Matthew chapter 18, you know, it says there, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. And so we see what God feels about a negative impact that you might have on someone. As a father, you have to understand that your children are watching you. As a father, you have to understand that your children are trying to emulate you. Your children are trying to gain your acceptance. Your children are trying to be like you. And to understand that it's not all about you, and that you need to think about others first, your children are going to emulate that. Your children are going to take on that character trait. But the more that you act like it is about you, the kids are going to act like that too. The kids are going to develop that habit, because people teach people no matter what they do. You know, you're teaching somebody, or with every decision that you make, you're teaching somebody about life. You're teaching them a lesson. And, you know, as hard as that is to swallow, we understand that as a dad, I can either influence it for good. I could be the salt of the earth, right? I could be the salt for my family. I can influence my family in a good way. Or I can influence my family in a very negative way. And that's a heavy burden to think about. You know, when my boys look to me to be dad, and I make selfish decisions, they're going to think that being dad is making selfish decisions. You know, whether I'm trying to teach them a lesson or not, they're going to see that, and they're going to see that I'm justifying it. I'm saying that's okay, and so they're going to do that too. And this is something that continually comes up as a father, right? This is something that continually comes up as a dad. And sometimes, you know, I make selfish decisions. Hopefully, most of the time I don't. But understanding that the decisions impact my family, it's not all about me, is something that we continually examine about ourselves as fathers. You know, it not only affects my family, but my decisions also teach my family. You know, it's not all about me. And the more that I choose my family over myself, the more that I'm teaching my family that value. And the less that I do it, the more that I'm teaching them about that value. And so, as being a dad, understanding that it's not all about me, and understanding that making those decisions are extremely important as a father, is going to help me become a better father. Patience is a must. Now, this is something that I think I even put this as a bullet point. Yes, I am not the best example of patience. Okay, as David can tell you, I'm not the best example of patience. When he doesn't have his shoes on, you know, and I'm ready to go, and he can't find his shoes, I am not the model of patience. I am not saying, David, it's okay. I understand. You've misplaced your shoes, even though 15 minutes ago I asked you to put those shoes on. I asked you to locate those shoes 15 minutes ago, and they're not where they're supposed to be. But it's okay, son. I'm sorry to say that's not me. Sometimes I just lose it, right? Sometimes I lose it, and I'm thinking to myself, why can't you, you know, just get your shoes on? Why can't you just do this? Why can't you do that? Where are your shoes? Why aren't they supposed to be where they're supposed to be? But the thing is I understand that, you know, I understand the impact of me blowing up, right? And what that has on David. He continually says, I'm sorry. You know, he continually says, I'm sorry. I want to, you know, I'm going to try and do better. He gets mad at himself because I'm mad. And remember that idea that everything that I do teaches my kids something. You know, I'm teaching my kids that yelling is part of being a dad, and that's something that I need to work on. you know, there are times where yelling might be necessary, but at the same time, I think I might do it too much. I don't know. I'll have to ask my boys later on, but I think that they would agree. You know, the thing is that, you know, you have to have patience. There has to be some times where you just breathe before you speak or breathe before you react. And I find that in times that I do that, that I acknowledge that I'm about ready to lose it, and I just breathe and I calmly say and reassert myself, that it helps the situation. But, you know, like I said, you know, you have to have patience if you're going to be a dad. And if you're going to teach your kids patience, you have to also have patience. And so patience is a must in being a father. Not only that, first of all, it's not all about you, but that you have to have patience. We see that in 1 Corinthians in 13, we see that love is patient. And love is kind. And these things must be emulated as you as a father. These things have to be part of your character as a dad in order to raise your children up, in order to make sure that they are kind, make sure that they are patient. They have to learn these lessons. And you as a dad, or me as a dad, I'm in a perfect position to be able to teach those lessons. And if I want to show love, I have to be patient. I have to be kind. We see in Proverbs 15:18, I've preached a lesson on anger before, and I've used this verse, and I think it applies here. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. When I go about screaming throughout the house about things that can calmly be discussed, like shoes, you know, what that does is that creates a hostile place. That creates a hostile home for my kids. When I'm yelling and I'm mad and I'm doing this and I'm carrying on, I am a hot-tempered person. And what I'm doing is stirring up conflict. And I'm yelling at kids who can't yell back. They're not allowed to. How do you think that conversation would go? When I start yelling about my kids about shoes, and if my kid turns around and says, "Dad, it's not a big deal." Ooh. Don't you yell at me. Where'd you learn that? You know, it would create a lose-lose situation for my kids. And I need to keep that in check. That's something that I struggle with. That's something that I continue to struggle with, and I'm trying to get better at. But even though the more that I think that I'm getting better, I just revert back to yelling. But it's the one who is patient that calms a quarrel. It's the one that's patient that is calming. And you want to be a father, you want to be a dad, and I want to be a dad who has a calming effect on their children. I want to be a dad where my kids aren't afraid to come up to me and tell me something. I want to be a dad where my kids aren't afraid to come tell me that they broke something. I want to be able to react in a way that's positive. I want to have that patience that shows love, that shows kindness. When we see the patience of the father in the parable of the lost son in Luke chapter 15. And when that child comes up to the father and says, "Hey, give me my inheritance, I wanna go. Give me what's owed to me and I'll leave." And the father does it. We don't see arguing from the father in this parable. We don't see a huge struggle here. We see the father with wisdom and patience, doing exactly as the son has asked. And sometimes that's seen as foolishness. We see that the other son that was working out in the field questioned that decision by the father. But it brings me to my next point. One is that children have a mind of their own. You have to understand that as a dad, that they are not robots. That even though that you're showing patience, even though that you are putting them first, and you constantly do this, your child has a mind of their own. They're going to do things that are counter to the things that you're trying to teach them in the first place. They're going to do things differently than how you would do it. They're going to think in the way that they're going to think, and then you can't control that. I can't control that, and I have to remind myself of that. And we see that the father is patient, right? The son is impatient. We saw the patience of the father. We saw the wisdom of the father in this parable being shared with us. Yet we see the impatience of the son. And children, they're going to do what they set their minds to do. And hopefully we train them up in such a way that they make good decisions for themselves, but they are going to make plenty of bad decisions for themselves on their own. And oftentimes as dad, I feel like that's a reflection of me. When David gets a hit in baseball, it's a reflection on me. He got a hit. Look at that. That's my boy. When he doesn't, I feel like that's a reflection on me. Oh, he hit it because I haven't been coaching him properly. I haven't been telling him this or that or things like that. And I get carried away at baseball games with, you know, trying to give David pointers, get that bat off your shoulder, you know, get that elbow up kind of thing. And I realize that, you know, a lot of that is because, you know, I'm making it about myself. I'm making it about myself and thinking that my child is a reflection of me. In my parenting and my coaching ability. But what you have to understand is that my son is the one in the batter's box and I'm the one outside the fence. My son's going to have to make decisions for themselves. And they have a mind of their own. They're going to think independently of what I think. I might have influence. I might be the salt of the earth, but I am not going to be able to think for them. They're going to have to do that themselves. And they do. All the time. You know, we see in Proverbs, it says, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And, you know, and sometimes I've heard that if a child makes bad decisions as an adult, that's because the dad didn't do enough for the child. That means the dad didn't train up the child in the way that he should go. But I don't necessarily, I don't see that. Because I see a lot of times I have students who come from very good homes. Students where the parents are model citizens. And then the kid goes off to college and, you know, loses it. Just loses control and, you know, makes a bunch of bad decisions. And I've seen it time and time again in which, you know, kids who are raised in very loving, very good homes, have full support of their parents, you know, and then they just make bad decisions. Well, it's because children have a mind of their own. However, what we see in this scripture is that it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I think about the way that I thought when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. And the way that I think now, you know, it's funny, and I was telling, I think, the high school class this, you know, it's kind of funny that being a teenager, how much I knew and how very little my father knew. But then when I got married and I started to have kids, it was weird because my father all of a sudden got really, really smart. You know, and the idea that the older I got and the more that I got to experience, I understood a lot of the things that my father had done, that my dad did when I was a kid, that I thought was foolish. And we see here in the very same thing with the parable with the lost son, that it might have seemed foolish to go ahead and give him that inheritance, but the father had patience. The father had wisdom. And it wasn't understood at this point. Someday, my boys will understand my parenting decisions. They'll either look at it as an example to follow or example not to follow. But it's not going to be today. Right? They think independently of me. They're going to make decisions based on what they think should be done. You know, the other day, and I hopefully my kids will forgive me for telling you all these stories, but the other day I asked them to clean up their room. Well, that was great because I walked into the room after only 15 minutes, that floor was clean. And I thought, well, I must be a good dad, a good motivator, because yelling actually produced something. Until me and Alyssa were looking for something, and we thought it might have fallen under the bed, and we pulled the bed out, and oh, there was everything that was on the floor. It's under the bed now. They just scooped everything under the bed. And so, you know, the idea is that, you know, that they will one day understand why I want them to keep their rooms clean. They will understand one day why it is that I'm asking them to do the things that they want, that they don't want to do now. They're going to understand it, but it's not going to be today. And, you know, I probably should have checked on them while they were cleaning the room a little bit. But the thing is that they have a mind of their own, and they're not a robot. They're going to make these decisions. And we have to accept that as parents. We have to accept that as dads, and I have to accept that. We see in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, starting in verse 24, it says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare from the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Now you see, even teaching people about Christ, you can't do their thinking for them, right? You can't download your thoughts into their brains and have them act in the way that you do and have them understand the scriptures in the way that you do. The only thing that you can do as a Christian teaching Christ is to reason through the scriptures, is to be patient, is to be able to teach, correcting your opponents with gentleness, in the hopes that one day that they're going to realize that you are right, in the hopes that one day they come to their senses and understand that you are right. And same thing as being a dad. You know, you can only do these things in the hopes that one day that they're going to understand what it is that you were trying to teach them. As we see illustrated in the lost son, we see the father was patient in giving the son the inheritance that he asked for. The son went out and wasted it. And the son did what? He came to his senses. And he came back to the father. And what we see is that's what we have to expect as fathers. That's what we have to expect as dads, is that children have a mind of their own and they're going to act in their own volition. But what you can do is you can influence that. What you can do is you can train up a child in the way that he should go. And then someday, he's going to realize that you are right. Someday, your child's going to come to their senses and understand that. And for some children, that's going to be a longer struggle than most. But that's all you can do as a parent. That's all you can do as a dad, is try and do those things and teach those things with gentleness. Try and do those things patiently. And hope that your children will someday understand the things that you did for them. Also, this kind of goes hand in hand with the idea that most of parenting is serving others. Once you become a parent, you become a unit, right? Once you become a parent, you become part of a whole. You are not your whole self, okay? Once you become a parent, you're part of this whole. And that means, you know, cooking, cleaning, laundry. Laundry, by the way, is the never-ending story, isn't it? I mean, no, how come nobody told me, okay, growing up, that laundry was going to be as big of a part of my life as I thought it would be, right? Whether you don't have clean underwear or whether you do have clean underwear directly affects my mood, okay? It's crazy. But fixing things and bills and all these other things, these are most of parenting in your day-to-day operations as a family is about serving everyone, serving others, not just yourself. It's not acting in a selfish way. In Galatians 5:13, we says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Now, as parents, we made the decision, and Alyssa and I made the decision to have kids, right? Nobody forced us to have kids, okay? We made the decision to have a family. We wanted a family, and so we started a family. We were free to make that choice. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Now, if we made that choice, I mean, we still have the freedom to make choices as a family, but at the same time, what we understand is that we can't act selfishly. Otherwise, it's going to have poor results from parenting. Now, we're free to do so. We're free to choose to be poor parents. We're free to choose to make selfish decisions. We're free to do all those things. However, we understand the impact that that's going to have, not only on ourselves, but our kids. And understanding the impact that that's going to have on kids is also understanding that that's going to be a lifelong struggle if you create that situation. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Don't make selfish decisions, right? Because when you take on being a parent, it's about the unit. It's about the whole, not just the part. You have the freedom to make decisions for just the part because you are the only one that controls you. However, what we see here is that serving one another humbly in love is what you should choose. In Matthew chapter 23, we see that the greatest among you will be your servant. We see that serving others is such a big topic in our Christian lives, and it should be in our homes as well. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you're going to make selfish decisions over and over again as a father, your kids are going to learn that, and they're going to do it too. The more that you practice patience, the more your kids are going to do that as well. And the thing is that when you look at this, when you look at the measure that you use, it's going to be measured to you. As a dad, it kind of scares me. Because I make, you know, like I said, you know, I'm lucky that my kids just don't scream right back at me. Because what I'm teaching them, when I lose control in that respect, is I'm teaching them that that's okay. And it's not. Because I wouldn't want to be screamed at. I hate being screamed at. You know, anyone who served in the military can understand that being screamed at is bad. You know, people getting in your face, people telling you all these things about yourself. You know, you don't want people yelling at you. And so in the same thing, the measure that I use is going to be measured to me. Someday that's going to come out and that's going to impact me. Maybe not right now, but maybe when they're teenagers and when they're feeling a little bit more rebellious and they're wanting to scream back. If I want to fix that, right? If I want to fix that measure that's going to be measured to me, I'm going to have to fix what I'm dealing out. I'm going to have to give, and it's going to be given back to me. And that's going to be hard work. You know, I've only been a father for 8 years. And I'm still learning the ropes. I'm still learning how to be a good father. I'm still learning how to be a good dad. And it's tough. It's hard work. It's hard work to breathe before you speak. It's hard work to understand that kids are that have their own minds. It's hard work to not meddle in all the things that they do to try and get them to do it the way that you want it done. It's hard work to be a dad. But it's worth that hard work, isn't it? Because what you, we just said it, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. What you put in, you're going to get out of it. And if you're going to be willing to put in very little into your parenting, you're going to get very little out of it. And the kids are going to get very little out of it. You have a chance, and I have a chance as a dad, to influence my kids in a positive manner. And it's hard work. But it's worth it. You know, The last point, the last point that I'm going to talk about today is that that as a father, I understand that there is such a thing as unconditional love. You know, it wasn't but a couple days after David was born, you know, that I was leading the Lord's Supper, and that I fully realized the sacrifice of Christ, that God's Son was sent to the cross to die. And I hadn't been a father but for just a few days, and it brought me to tears to think about how a father would let their son be put on a cross. How a father would be able to give that up for others. And, you know, it was in those first few days of David being born that I realized that there is such a thing as this unconditional love that the Father gives to us. And it was hard for me to understand before, but once I became a father, it was clearly evident. We talked about this today in class, in the high school class, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God had unconditional love for his Son, but he also had unconditional love for the world. And God made the decision that he was going to give up his Son for the world, which is, you know, I mean, we like to put ourselves in the place of God very often, but would you want to put yourself in the place of God in this decision? A lot of times we like to think, you know, that we know better than God in the way that we act and the way that we talk. But would anybody want to be put in this position to make this decision? You know, the love that I have for my boys, I mean, if I felt my boys were threatened by something, I would do my best to annihilate that. Whatever's threatening my sons, I would be willing to just completely destroy it. You know, and my love for them is not only fierce, but my love for them is tender, and it's completely unconditional. You know, my boys might make me mad by pushing stuff underneath the bed and not getting their shoes on in time, but at the same time, it doesn't take away with how much I love them. And it's unimaginable to be a dad, to understand that even though that your love is fierce, that your love is tender, and that your love is completely unconditional, and that your children fill your heart with joy, that God's love for us is more than that. It's more than that. How can there be any more? It's completely full, but we have to understand that God's love for us is more than that. Because God made that decision for the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He watched his Son be betrayed, yet forgave those who betrayed him. He watched his Son be tortured, forgave those who lashed him. He watched his Son nailed to a cross in one of the most painful executions known to man, yet forgave those who raised that cross. And this is the verse that Shaden read earlier. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it would rip the heart out of my chest to have to sacrifice one of my sons. And I have two of them. To sacrifice one of my sons for somebody who would be willing, or somebody who would appreciate that death? But I can't imagine making a decision to sacrifice one of my sons for someone who wouldn't. I couldn't imagine that. And I have two sons. Imagine having one and being put in a position where you have to sacrifice that son in the most brutal fashion in order to save people who didn't appreciate it. In order to save the very people who put him in that situation in the first place. You see, God's love is more. God's love is more than the love that we could show. Because God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. We stood against God, and God still gave his son for us. The Father, which we're gathered here today to worship, because it is the Father's Day, here on Father's Day, makes me a better father. He was mindful of me before I was born. It wasn't all about God. He was mindful of me even before I was born by sacrificing his son. He was patient with me as I grew up. He gave me the freedom to make my own decisions. He didn't make us into robots. He made me free and gave me my own capacity to reason and my own capacity to make decisions for myself. He served me when I couldn't serve myself. And he loved me when I was unlovable. And we take these lessons and we apply them to our Christian lives. And as dads, you know, we apply them to our lives as parents. You know, we understand that there is an absolute need to be reconciled to God. Because God, even though the love of a dad for his kids can be immeasurable, the love of God for us is unfathomable. And so I ask that in light of these things, that you be reconciled to God today. That if you stand against God, be reconciled to him today. If you are outside of the body of Christ, you need to come into the body of Christ through baptism. If you stand outside of God, but you have been baptized, you need to be reconciled to God today. Because he is waiting for you in that parable, the lost son. We see that the father runs out to the son as he comes to his senses. And that's what God is willing to do for you. That's what God is there to do for you, because the father is patient. The Father is mindful of you. The Father has given you the freedom to make that decision today. And he's willing to serve you because he loves you. However you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.